Good morning, Boker Tov to everyone. Welcome back for Parsha Perspectives for today. It continues to be amazing to be in person. Give an applause to the people listening online. No, there are people here. There you go. We're still trying to prove to the people who watch and listen online that I am not sitting here all alone, faking that we are back. I want to thank our generous series sponsors for the year. My dear friends, Becky and Avi Katz, and family in loving memory of Becky's father, David Grossman, the Nishmas, David Ben Menachem Manish. This morning's shiur is also sponsored by Rabin and Eric Froman in honor of the yahrzeit of Harold Dubow, the 15th of Cheshvan. Thank you so much for your generosity. If you'd like to sponsor a future shiur of Parsha Perspectives, Siddur Snippets, Living with Emuna, or any of the other many, many classes we have during the week, simply go online, brsonline.org, sponsor. And you can sponsor easily all in one place. We have the privilege this week of learning Parshas Vayera. It appears in the Arutz Kol Stone Chumash on page 78. We begin Perek Yurches, chapter 18, picking up where we left off last week. At the end of last week, Avram Avinu, 99 years old, performs a circumcision on himself. What an extraordinary feat. What a tremendous statement of dedication and devotion to undergo such a surgery, to perform it on himself at such an advanced age without the benefit of anesthesia. And as you can imagine, he is recovering in our parsha. He is bouncing back. God appears to Avram as, even though he is busy recovering, even though he is coming back, he is healing, he nevertheless positions himself outside of his tent, because Avram Avinu is always eager to be hospitable, to host others, to do chesed. For Avram, to be denied or deprived the ability to play host would be more painful than to be in bed recovering from his circumcision. For Avram, if he's not actively engaged in helping others, that is a source of greater pain for him than circumcision without anesthesia. So much to recognize and appreciate about Avram, and so much to feel responsible for as the offspring and progeny of Avram Avinu, to follow in his footsteps. Vayisa ina vayar, he raises his eyes and he sees v'inei shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. There are three men hovering over, three men standing over him. Vayar vayatz l'krasam, he gets up and he runs with alacrity, with zeal, to greet them. Mipesach ha'oel, from the entrance of the tent, vayishtachu arza, and bow down. And they bow toward the ground. So there are a lot of themes in our parsha which are repetitive. There are several themes in our parsha which continuously repeat themselves, and we'll try to visit some of them. Some of them have to do with davening. Some of them have to do with advocacy, have to do with praying for other people. We'll come back to that. Some of it has to do with alacrity. We're not going to cover that today, but this is the source in the Torah for Zerizim Makdimin LeMitzvos. The notion that we don't delay and we don't procrastinate, we don't wait, but when we have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, we jump. We do it right away. We do it as early as possible. That's why, though, the whole day from sunrise to sunset is kosher for a bris milah. Nevertheless, most of us have been to, maybe we've hosted, a bris that happens early in the morning. Because Zerizim Makdimin LeMitzvos, we have another bris tomorrow morning, Baruch Hashem. So the Emunah Shiur tomorrow is going to be at 9:45, not 8:45 again. Adjust your calendar and your coffee intake. 9:45, not 8:45. Because Baruch Hashem, we have another bris, Kein Yirbu. We should have to move every shiur because we welcome new babies each and every day with God's help. So a bris is first thing in the morning. Pidyon HaBen is often first thing in the morning. How come weddings are at night? If it's a mitzvah to get married, why don't we make weddings after the 7 a.m. minyan? Why are there some mitzvahs that we seem to expedite, some mitzvahs that we do early on and quickly, and other mitzvahs that we delay and we schedule later in the day without any hesitation? Because the florist and the caterer won't be ready. Hair and makeup would have to begin at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Why don't we do the wedding? Oh, that's what I miss. The laugh at even the bad jokes that I make. Wow, I've missed you the last year and a half. It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back. So why don't we do it early in the morning? So we're not going to cover that. Rav Asher Weiss discusses it in his Minchas Asher. But discussion of when do we apply Zerizim Makdimin LeMitzvos and when do we not apply it. Is Zerizim Makdimin LeMitzvos a mitzvah d'oraisa d'rabbanon? Is it a biblical commandment or a rabbinic commandment? Is it, and I'll leave it at this, the lamdus, this is a quasi chabura, the lamdus. Is Zerizim Makdimin LeMitzvos, the idea that you do a mitzvah as early as possible and you do it with alacrity and enthusiasm, is that part and parcel of the mitzvah? Or is it a separate, secondary corollary to the mitzvah? What do I mean? When you do a mitzvah first thing, early on, with energy, when we get upstairs after 120, do we get two checks in the same box called bris, or one check in the box called bris, and another check in another box, a separate independent mitzvah called zeriz makdima, do it early on? What's a nafkamina? What's the practical difference between the two? Can you fulfill zeriz makdima even before the time of the mitzvah? The earliest that you could do a bris is at sunrise. Can you lay out the instruments and prepare the baby and have everything ready to go beforehand so that, punkt, the moment sunrise hits, you do the bris? Have you fulfilled zeriz makdima early on? Or no, zeriz makdima can only be fulfilled from the time of the mitzvah itself. If I just lost you, come back home. We're coming back now. We're coming back now. There's a lot to say on that topic. I'm excited by it, but it is not for now. So there's several themes that repeat themselves in this. Here Avram is recovering. He's recovering from circumcision. You know, you would imagine it would take a little time, a little healing, a little rehab. And he is running, eager, zeal and enthusiasm, because he has guests and he has to feed them. There are three what he thinks of are men. We really know that they are angels, but they appear to him to be men. The Kedushas Levi, the Hilga, the Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, says the following comment I found fascinating. So the Zohar says, Hagimel Anashim Elu, who were these three men? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now that's a little problematic. Why? Because Avram's the one greeting the three men. So what does it mean Avram is greeting Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What happens? Vayar, he sees. First of all, that's also another theme of our parsha we'll come back to. Vayisa eina vayar. He has to raise his eyes to see. What was he doing? Why did it take him to raise his eyes? Why didn't he see them until they were standing over him, until they were standing on top of him? What is the notion of what we see and what we don't see? So the Zohar says, this great book of Jewish mysticism mystically says, who are the three men that Avram sees? None other than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What in the world does that mean? He is Avram. Yitzchak hasn't been born yet. Yaakov is his Einikel's grandson. What does it mean those are the three men? We know the three angels. They come to perform different missions. They take the guise, the appearance of men. What does that mean? Thank God. We have Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev to explain it. Says the Halakha Kedushas Levi. Hine Avram ha'elo ke'ev men hamila. Avram was in pain from the circumcision. V'alachole yesh midas rachmonas alav. When it comes to a sick person, we have tremendous mercy. We have compassion for someone who's sick. V'afilu achi yischazik v'rat l'krosam v'nog b'midas ha'gvura. So Avram was sick and had every reason in the world to be a spectator, to be passive. Avram legitimately would have every excuse in the world to sit and to receive the kindness of others. I'm sure there was a meal train set up for Avram and Sarah. I'm sure there's Bikur Cholim that was visiting Avram and Sarah. There was probably the Satmar Bikur Cholim in the desert outside of his tent. They had their own tent pitched in order to deliver incredible meals to Avram. Normally the sick person who is recovering is receiving chesed. What did Avram do? He dug deep inside himself, and despite recuperating, despite having every reason to be a spectator, he expresses and he exerts what midah? Gvura. V'lachein zachal neshama she Yitzchak shuhu midah zu. If Avram is characterized by chesed, by loving kindness, Yitzchak is defined and characterized by what? Gvura, strength. Yitzchak perseveres and survives the akedah at the end of our parsha, the attempt to kill him. Not an attempt, but the test of killing him. Yitzchak has to redig wells. Yitzchak has to confront the plishtim. Yitzchak is gvura. He's might. He's strength. He's tenacity. V'nimtza sheyesh kan midas Avram v'Yitzchak. And what happens? V'chol makom sheyesh Avram v'Yitzchak sham yesh Yaakov. What's Yaakov's quality? Emes. Emes is the blending. Emes is the hybrid between chesed and gvura. Combined. Chesed and Gvura seem to be antithetical to one another. Loving kindness, generosity, sensitivity, flexibility, as opposed to Gvura, which is to be rigid and strong. What is the combination of the two? Is Yaakov. So says Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, what it means is the following. And now it goes from being something so cryptic, and what in the world does it mean, to being something I find so beautiful and incredibly inspiring. A person has to live their life and know that when we have to make decisions, when we have to choose our behavior, in every moment and for everything we do, we are impacting ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren. What does he see before him? He sees who he will be, who his son will be, and who his grandson will be. These three men that appear before him are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It means he says to himself, there are three hungry, tired people. If I use my excuse that I'm recovering and recuperating, then who will I be? Will I be the Avram of Chesed? If I don't display Gvura in this moment, will I be able to have a son who is characterized by Gvura? And if I can't combine the two and maintain that equilibrium and balance between Chesed and Gvura, will I produce a Yaakov who's MS? So it goes from being a cryptic comment to a very beautiful insight of Rav Levi Yitzchak, that at every moment and in every decision we have to ask ourselves, not what's the easy way out, what's comfortable, what's convenient, but what will define me? What will contribute to defining my children and my grandchildren, my legacy? And that's what can enable us to find that inner strength. Sometimes we're tired. I'm very tired. We're all very tired. It's been a very taxing couple of years, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And there are moments that are presented to us, whether to come to the shir this morning, whether to come in person to the shir, whether to daven with all of our being. We're going to talk about the power of tefillah and some of the ingredients of tefillah today. We are challenged in different moments, and it's tempting to take that easy way out. And we have legitimate excuses, just like Avram had when he was busy recuperating. But yet Avram recognized that what was at stake at that moment was not just that moment. What was at stake was who he would be, who his children would be, and who his grandchildren would be. And says Rav Levi Yitzchak, that's what it means, that he raises his eyes and he sees, v'hinei shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. These three people, these three generations, they're standing over him. Before us, in our mind's eye, we should always see these generations and ask ourselves, who do we need to be and how do we need to conduct ourselves to make that impact on these generations? You see this also in another way. What happens? Perek Yerches, Pasuk Zayin. So he welcomes these angels and he says, that he thinks are men, wash your feet. He's concerned they've been engaged in Avodah Zarah. What do you see about this, by the way? Was Avram only hospitable to Haimash Yidden? Did Avram only welcome into his tent somebody with a yarmulke on their head? Was Avram only willing to display loving kindness to people who were exactly like him? Whom does Avram invite into his tent? People he suspects of Avodah Zarah. That's who he's inviting in. Momentarily, he's going to advocate and lobby and daven on behalf of the people of Stone. He's not davening, Hashem, there's a tzaddik in the hospital, you don't know this tzaddikis, you have to spare her, give her a refuah shleima. He's saying, Hashem, there's a Russia that I know, a Russia Marusha, Rishon Arurim, and yet, I'm intervening on their behalf. That's Avram, that's our legacy. We are the B'nai Avram, we are the children of Avram. We don't only care about and we don't only intervene on behalf of those who are exactly like us, or who meet our standards, or who live our lifestyle, or meet our approval. Avram welcomes in people he thinks are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they have to wash their feet. Avram advocates for people who he knows are Rishoim. So what does he do? He prepares for them. El HaBakar Ratz Avraham. Avram doesn't stop running. Running, running, running. He is recovering and recuperating. He's on crutches. He's got a walker. He's in a wheelchair. He's got a cane. He just has circumcision. He's 99 years old. Without a circumcision at 99 years old, you could use those apparatuses. He's 99 and just freshly and newly circumcised. And yet, again, Vayatz, he's running, 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 doing, doing, doing. Vayikach ben Bakar, Rach Vatov, I'm on Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. Vayitain al Hanar, Vayimaher la Asososo. He goes, notice by the way, when you have guests, you don't go get the milchiks. He does not take out an impossible burger. He goes, and he goes to the steak. Where else are you going to go if you're going to properly be hospitable and host guests? This is part of my life mission to represent the carnivores among us. So Avram runs and he goes and he takes out a nice piece of flesh and tender and good, delicious, and he gives it El Hanar. Says Rashi, why is he giving it to the Nar? What happened? Did he run out of steam? Did he run out of energy? This is the same Avram that jumped at the opportunity when he saw the three people. This is the same Avram. Vayaretz, he's running. He wants to choose the rib steak, the strip steak, the hanger steak. He wants to choose the cut of meat. And all of a sudden, he's handing it over. Why is he handing it over? Vayitein el anar. He's handing it over to the lad. Says Rashi, Zuyishmael. Who is this young man that he's handing it over to? There is only one young man so far in his life. That's Yishmael. Yitzchak has not yet arrived. That's why the angels are here. And what's the reason he's giving it to Yishmael? Says Rashi, Lechancho b'mitzvos. In order to educate him, to engage him, to involve him in the process of mitzvahs. So in this beautiful sefer called L'Sitcha Elyon, another new sefer I have, when you give the Parsha Shir so many years, You got to stay on your toes and constantly get new svarim. So this is a fantastic L'sitcha Elyon is Limudei Parshas HaShavua that are taking from Rabbi Seinu Balei HaMusar. So we have our Mikros Gedolos of Chassidus, and we have our essentially Mikros Gedolos of Musar personalities. Phenomenal compendiums. People did the hard work for us. Otherwise, I'd have to have bookcases and libraries up here. If each one were in a separate sefer, they took the best of, put them in Sfarim, and I'm trying to take the best of what they took the best of to share with you. So in this beautiful sefer, the Sitcha Elyon, it says the following: Avram Avinu ishtokek lachnasas orchem v'zachaba. Avram is longing; he's waiting. Avram doesn't sit by the phone, and when he sees it's the shul calling, and maybe someone needs to be hosted, he doesn't answer. Avram keeps calling the shul, and he says, "No, you haven't called me in forever. Doesn't anyone need a meal? Doesn't anyone need a room? Doesn't anyone need hospitality?" By the way, nobody does that. If you'd like to sign up to be like Avram, we could use your help. And we see that when he merits that these angels appear, he runs. Four times we find in these two psukim running. Two psukim, four references to the alacrity and zeal and the running. He saw they were in a rush, so he was in a rush. And this is the source that we don't do things slowly, and we don't do things hesitantly and reluctantly, but we reflect the attitude we bring by the zeal that we apply. In the middle of all of a sudden, you see, Avram goes to the freezer, he chooses the cut of meat, and vayitein al hanar. What happened? Four times he's running himself, and all of a sudden he's handing it off. Rashi lachancha b'mitzvas mashma shloha yatzarach la'ezra sanar. What do you see from Rashi? Rashi says Avram's entire motivation of why he gave it over to Yishmael was why? To include him in the process, to educate him. Which means that did he really need Yishmael's help? No. Avram's got it. He's covered it till now, and he can man a barbecue best like anyone else. He doesn't really need Yishmael. Chom matarasso haisa lachancha b'mitzvas. His entire reason why he involved Yishmael was to educate. Ro'am nekuda nifla. Say the Baal HaMusar, we see a very powerful point. Eich lemaros kol eslabas v'azrizas lo shachach gam l'kayim mitzvah chinuch. Sometimes in our zeal and our alacrity, in our enthusiasm, sometimes in our excitement for mitzvahs or for life, we leave the children behind. We're running out to the Beis Medrash. We're running out to Shul. We're running out to the Fabring and the Tish. We're running out to get together. We're running out to do the mitzvah. And we leave the children behind. We leave them home alone. We leave them in our dust. That wasn't Avram. Dafka beglala zrizas ra makom besoch kozeh lechancho. In the middle of the zrizas, dafka in the middle of running and doing, Avram realizes that part of the fulfillment of running and doing is involving Yishmael, is involving the next generation. Our mitzvahs can't come at the expense of our children. They are the invitation and opportunity to involve and engage our children, to bring them with us to the hospital for the visit, to bring them with us to drop off that meal, to bring them with us to the Fabringen or the Tish, to bring them with us to the Oneg, to bring them with us to the Beis Medrash, to not leave them behind, but to lead by example. Perek Yerches Pasuk Yudtes. Turn the page. We are flying today. Turn two pages. V'Avram ayu ayel goy gadol v'atzum v'nivruchu b'cha kol goy ha'aretz. Avram going to be a great nation. This is Stone's destruction. Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzav es banav es beis ha'achar v'shomer derech Hashem l'asot stok u'mishpat l'man avi Hashem al Avraham is asher diber alav. Hashem is about to reveal something to Avraham. He's about to let him in on an intelligence briefing that nobody else in the world has. Says Hashem, I have been utterly disappointed by the absolute corruption of the people of Sodom, of these five cities, and it's time to wipe them out. This is a microcosm of Parshas Noach. Just like in Noach, humanity globally disappointed God. He did a hard reboot, a hard reset. Now, a microcosm, there's a specific region who are disappointing and violating the very reason God created a world, and God does a hard reset on them. But he says, this special relationship with Avram, I can't hold this from Avram. I got to tell him in advance. I got to give him some advance warning. I've got to give him a briefing. And why? Why does Hashem feel compelled? What drives him? So Hashem doesn't conceal that from us. He tells us this pasuk, chapter 18, verse 19, pasuk perik yitches pasuk yitzes, ki yedativ, because I know lamana shi yitzav es banav es beis ha'acharav. Avram is devoted to his children and his grandchildren. V'shamru derech Hashem, they observe the way of Hashem, they do tztaka u'mishpah, they don't just shuckle hard and have very good hachshirim, which are very, very important, and I try to do myself, but they also do mishpat and tztaka. They're also very consumed by justice and charity, interpersonal, representing the underprivileged. Now we've spoken about this pasuk a lot in the past, and I'm not going to repeat it because a good friend of mine who made a brief appearance here at the shir pointed out that my favorite divrei Torah make their way into every parsha shir. So you'll have to listen to a previous year if you want to hear more about this pasuk that I love. The Rambam Shvila Zahav comes from this pasuk. The Rambam Don't Live in Extremes, You Have to Live the Golden Mean comes from this pasuk. Previously we spoke about where the fact that Hashem is telling Avram, you know why I love you? Not because of you. I love you because you are committed to transmit what you have to your children, not at the expense of your children. Again, continuing a similar theme. So listen to what the Chafetz Chaim says on this pasuk. This is new. The Chafetz Chaim says the following. Chafetz Chaim appears, not in this Chafetz Chaim on the Chumash, but it's in his Sefer Nidchei Yisrael. The Chafetz Chaim wrote many Sfarim. Some of them became much more well-known than others. So Sefer Chafetz, his name wasn't Chafetz Chaim. It was Yisrael Meir Kagan of Radin. His mother called him Yisrael Meir. She didn't say, Chafetz Chaim, come for dinner. Chafetz Chaim, did you do your homework? He had a name. But certain people became known by the name of their Sfarim. The Nodeb Yehuda and the Avnei Nezer. These became so well known, they became known by the name of their Sfarim. So the Chafetz Chaim's name was Yisrael Meir Kagan, and he wrote several Sfarim. You can have this a three-volume set that for many years collected dust on my shelf because someone got it for me for my bar mitzvah, and only when I was an adult did I appreciate that I even owned it. And thank God, unlike many bar mitzvah kids, I did not put it in Shemos in the interim. Sometimes I've gone through Shemos and I find the bar mitzvah gifts that I've given out. It's always a good feeling. Anyway, but it's good for repurposing. That's why Hashem created whiteout. So the Chafetz Chaim, just joking. Chavetz Chaim says the following. It's in a Sefer Nidcha Yisrael Perek Yud, and he writes the following. In the generation of the time of Avram, there were other righteous people. Avram was not the only one. He stood out for reasons we spoke about last Shabbos, and maybe we'll review this morning. But there were others, because Shem Ve'Aver, who were predecessors of Avram, had a yeshiva. Yeshiva Shem Ve'Aver. The yeshiva had students. K'mo Shenemar Maki Tzedek Melech Shalem Hu Kohen L'Kel Elyon. Malki Tzedek is a priest, a righteous priest. She's a Kayal Shem. We know that Malki Tzedek was Shem, Rashi tells us. V'chein Eiver, Amar Olav Chazash, Hayin Navi, Gadol Shenikra Shemo Peleg, Gmosh Peir Shratzi, Rashi. V'im Mekapten Lamanash and Lavad Hashem, V'alaf Pikein, Lo Yatsum Hem Uma, O Afil Mishpacha Shetiz Kalavad Hashem, V'lam Azeh. So the Chavetz Chaim wonders, there were other righteous contemporaries of Avram, Shem and Eiver, they even in fact had a yeshiva. So why aren't they the fathers of a nation? Why is Avram Avinu? Why is Avram the Av Hamon Goyim? Avram is the father of all great nations. Avram is the patriarch of the Jewish people, the chosen people. And Shem Ve'Aver, who were righteous, had a yeshiva, lived contemporaneous to Avram, and they are footnotes to history. What is the difference between them? Says the Chavetz Chaim, Gil Salano Torah Tamash Adav, the Torah itself tells us the reason. It doesn't hide it. You don't have to guess. She'ilu kulam ha'yisa koma gamasam rak la'avras Hashem ba'atzmam. Aval Avram avinu ala v'shalom ha'yoiv ne'man Hashem yosar mikulam o Avraham o avai. His bonim ba'atzma yesof davar. So the rest of them, says the Chavetz Chaim, the rest of them kept their relationship to Hashem to themselves. They kept it to themselves. They worshipped Hashem personally and privately. They involved Him in their life, in their own private and personal life. Avram Avinu got up on a soapbox. Avram Avinu broadcast the message everywhere and to anyone who would listen. There's a God, there's one God. Enough with the shtus of paganism and idolatry. Stop worshiping the mighty dollar, celebrities, pop culture, athletes. Stop worshiping social media. There's one Hashem and there's meaning in life when we attach ourselves to Him. Avram told the world, you're right, they were righteous. And you're right, they also practiced monotheism. But they kept it to themselves. Avram shared it with the world. We spoke about last Shabbos that really the Rambam in his introduction to Hilchos Avodah Zarah tells the whole history of religion and tells us that from the beginning of time there were monotheists, Adam and Chava, Mesu Shelach, and so on and so forth. What distinguished or differentiated Avram, and the reason he's the father, the patriarch, not only of our people, but in many ways of all people, is because Avram didn't keep it to himself. He shared it with the world. Laman ki yedativ laman asher yitzaveh. Ki yedativ. I know. Rav Volba points out, this we did say last year, Hashem is trying to express His affection for Avram. Avram, I love you. Avram, you're great. I feel so close to you. I feel so connected with you. I could never withhold this from you. And what word does he use to express affection? Ki yidativ. You know how you express affection? When you come to know somebody. If you don't ever care enough to know about them, you don't really love them. You don't love them. They're the people that every time you get together with them, all they do is talk about themselves, and they never ask you one question about you. And if you're sharing about you, they have no interest in hearing about you. And then they claim to be your close friend or close family member or that they love you. But if somebody doesn't have the interest or the patience to inquire about you, then they don't have a lot of affection for you. One of the ways, a critical way to express affection, is to care enough to get to know people. This is a big signal when I talk to young people about dating. On that date, do they ask you about you or do they only want to talk about themselves? That is a big red flag if they never have an interest in asking about you. If all they want to do is talk about them, then they're not going to be very affectionate. There's not going to be a whole lot of love. So it says Rav Volba, ki yedativ, the word that the Torah uses to express Hashem's affection is ki yedativ. Hashem says, I know you. I know you. We spend time together. I ask about you. And I watch you and I observe you and I listen to you and I hear what's going on in your life. I know you. And that's the expression of affection. That is how you know whether someone really loves someone else or not. Let's keep going. Perek Yurches, Pasuk Chaf. Vayomer Hashem, Zakas Dom Ba'amor Ki Rabba, V'chatasam Ki Chav Dom Ma'od. Hashem says, bad news, bad stuff going on down there. Corruption, iniquity, there is moral decadence, moral dissent. So what does Hashem do? Er Dana, Perek Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Er Dana Ve'er'eh. Hashem says, I got to go down and check it out. Let me see what's going on down there. And of course, the question begs itself, go down to check it out. What happened to the omnipotent, omniscient God? Doesn't he know everything from wherever he is? Why does he have to come down to take a closer look? So we mentioned this 2 weeks parshios ago, because Migdal Bavel, it says the same thing. God says, let me go down to see what's going on. How come when we mess up, Hashem has to come down? He can't give us a patch from up there. He has to come down to check it out to see for himself. So Rashi says the same thing in both places. Look at Rashi here, Pasuk Avalef. Lamad l'dayanam. This is a teaching for judges. Shalivsku dina nefashis ela beri'iyah. And he said the same thing earlier, Parshas Haflaga. Erdana alasof masayim. Let me go down and check out. And the message is true in both places. Do not have an opinion until you see for yourself. Says God, I'm omnipotent and omniscient. I'm infinite and all-knowing. And yet, I go check it out for myself. I don't listen secondhand. I don't take someone else's word. I don't rush to judgment. I don't make conclusions. I go check it out for myself, and so should you. Don't come to conclusions without seeing for yourself, without talking to the person, without hearing both sides, without knowing what's going on. Er dana. Hashem says, let me model for you what you need to do. You cannot come to conclusions, you cannot come to judgment through secondhand or third-hand information. You have to come down, you have to see, you have to know for yourself. We mentioned Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says that from Hashem's high perch, where He is perfect, it's very hard to be tolerant of the imperfections of others. And that's what it means. Hashem says, let me come down. Let me come down to humanity. Let me come down to this earth. Let me look at it and think about it through your perspective. A world of temptation, a world of stress and anxiety, a world of challenge and desire. And when I can look at it through your eyes, when I can look at it through the eyes of someone who struggles, Erdana, let me come down. Now I can be more tolerant, more forgiving. Now I can understand it with empathy and sympathy. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes we look at people with such intolerance. Can't believe they behave that way. My family would never do such a thing. We have to get out of our ivory tower and come off of our high horse and come down and realize that people aren't perfect and life isn't easy. And we have to grow and learn in our tolerance for others. That's why Rav Schwab writes that we just concluded the Yom Kippur, the Yom Narim season, particularly Yom Kippur, Ni'ilah Slichos. We repeat the Yud Gimel Midos. We invoke God's 13 attributes of mercy. And what do we always say beforehand? We introduce it with Vayered Hashem. Hashem, come down. If you're going to have mercy on us, it's only because you see from our level, from our perspective. Okay. There's a beautiful piece by Rav Druk. Rav Druk is going to be here this Shabbos, the Mirtz Hashem in Boca. He's going to speak at Shal Shittus this week. You're invited to hear Rav Yisrael Meir Druk. We spent many months learning his Eish Tamid on Parsha. We didn't do this piece, but in honor of Rav Druk coming this Shabbos, I'll share a piece from his Sefer. Yish la'ayin, he'akasol lo'amar ma'ir levasof. Ha'im be'emes yared. Here's a problem, Rav Druk points out. Did God come down in the end or not? He tells Avram, Erdana ve'era, let me come down. He tells the Malachim, he tells the world, let me come down and check it out. Then what's the very next pasuk? Vayifnu misham ha'anashim, vayachustoma. The angels leave Avram, and they pivot and go to Sodom. What happened? Did he come down or not? He says, let me come down. He models for us, you got to go see for yourself. Let me come down. And the next thing we know, the Torah is reporting that the angels went to Sodom to carry out their mission of destroying it. Did he come down or not? Why doesn't the Torah tell us? Moreover, Maya Tarach Laredis, why did he have to come down at all? He's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's God. Number three, Rashi tells us that on that day, Lot was appointed the judge over them. So if they, the people of Sodom, chose Lot as a leader, what does that tell you about Lot? That Lot is aligned with their evil views. So the very same day that Lot puts his lot, pun intended, with the people of Sodom, is the very same day that he saves his children, he saves the angels. So which is the real Lot? The wicked evil Lot who aligns with Sodom, or the pure, compassionate, kind Lot who offers hospitality and saves lives? Will the real Lot please stand up? So says Rav Druk the following. Nearly Yashiv, you can answer. There are two types of chataim. When we make mistakes, when we come up short, when we have indiscretions, there are two reasons or two types. Sometimes we do an aveira because really we're a good person with good intentions and good ambitions, but the temptation of the moment, we couldn't overcome it. Such a person is a Baal Aveira. Why are they called a Baal Aveira? Here he quotes one of my favorite Divrei Torah. We call someone a Baal Aveira, but we call them a Bar Mitzvah. What does the word Bar mean? Son. Bar is Aramaic for Ben, son. What do we call a girl who turns 12? A Bat or a Bas Mitzvah, the daughter of a Mitzvah. So why is someone a Baal Aveira, and yet they are a Ben or Bas Mitzvah? Baal means a spouse. Ben or Bas means a child. Says Rav Druk, because the Avera you're only married to. Someone who's married can get divorced. But if you're a child, that is a relationship that can never be severed. That is a relationship, that biological relationship of a parent-child. I don't mean, you know, you can hire a lawyer to, what's it called? Emancipate yourself. Emancipate yourself is a legal status. But a metaphysical status, once you're a child, you're always a child. So the relationship with Torah is that you're a child of Torah, because that is not a relationship you could ever sever or break. But the relationship with what we do, you're a Baal Tzedakah or you're a Baal Aveira. Because you're only a Baal Tzedakah as long as you give Tzedakah. But if you get divorced from Tzedakah, you stop giving it, you're no longer a Baal Tzedakah. So you're only a Baal Tzedakah, you're not a Ben or a Bas Tzedakah. So Torah is different in that way from these behaviors. So on the one hand, there's the Aveira, there's the Baal Aveira, who can separate and divorce themselves from the Aveira. On the other hand, there is such a chait, there are people who are so evil, so wicked, people so defined by their negativity, by their behavior, that it's part and parcel of who they are and of their character. How do you know whether the bad behavior is something which is external? Really, you're a good, pure person, you've just engaged in bad behavior. Or are you a bad person? Are you a bad person? What is the test? Kasher magim zmanim kedoshim. When holiness, when you encounter holiness, when you encounter a holy time or a holy person, if you're a good person who just gives into temptation, when you encounter, when you are exposed to holiness, it will bring out the best in you. But if really in your core you're a bad person, then even being exposed to or connected to holiness will not impact you or change you whatsoever. Says Rav Druk, that's what's going on over here. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to come down and see. Erdana ve'era, let me come down and see the people of Sodom. Are they inherently good people, they're just misbehaving? Or are they bad people? So he sent the Malachim to Sodom, and the Malachim bring with themselves a certain level of Kedusha. The Malachim bring a holiness and a sanctity. The Malachim are supposed to be this magnet that people will be drawn to attach themselves with spiritual aspiration. And what happens? Sodom is unmoved, but Lot is moved. So we ask three questions. Number one, did he go down or not? Hashem says, let me go down and see. The next thing you know, the angels are going to stone. Did he come down or not? Number two was, this Lot, is he bad or is he good? If he's so bad, why was he so helpful to the angels and to his children? If he's so good, how could he have attached himself to Sodom? So, Rav Druk is answering that Hashem was sending the angels down. Hashem said, let me come down to see. Did he come down to see? Yes. Why didn't the Torah tell us he did? It did tell us he did. When it told us that the angels went to Sodom, that was Hashem's coming down to test the people of Sodom, to expose them to holiness, and to see whether they were drawn to it, elevated by it. They weren't. So Hashem says, Zai gezunt, baby, you're out of here, we're done. Lot is elevated by it, so Hashem says, you're the man, you are worthy of saving. And Rav Druk applies this, it's a little anticlimactic, but it's a Dvar Torah for next year. In Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we go on our best behavior. Even if we rely on paspalter, even if we're not strict to eat Pas Yisrael the whole year, those 10 days, we only eat Pas Yisrael. And there are other behaviors that we are encouraged to be more meticulous about in those days. Who are we fooling? Who are we faking? What are we doing? Says Rav Druk, it's the same thing. These are holy days and holy times, and God is testing us. Are we drawn to and are we elevated by a sense of holiness? That is what is going on over here. Okay. Perek Yurchas Pasuk Chav Beis. Moving along. What happens? Vayifnu misham anashem vayachus doma v'Avraham odenu omed lifnei Hashem. So let's go full circle here. Avram is in the middle of a conversation with God, and all of a sudden he sees three men are standing over him. The Torah means to tell us three angels in the guise of men. The Zohar said he saw Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, means he saw what was at stake and how he would respond to those men. He says, God, would you mind holding on a minute? I have to take care of these people. They're hungry, they're tired, they're thirsty. Can I put you on hold for a minute and take care of them? And what does God say? The omnipotent, infinite creator of the universe, the master of the universe. You have an audience with the most powerful, the creator. I would think you don't interrupt that for anything. Could you imagine you're in the Oval Office, you're meeting with the president, whatever president, whatever time, whichever president you'd be happy to be meeting with, and your phone rings. Would you have the audacity? Would you have the chutzpah to say to the president of the Oval Office, could you just give me 1 second? I got to take this call. By the way, today, yes, many people would, but that's absurd. It's absurd. It's absurd to do that. Sometimes I'm meeting with people and they say, Rabbi, I just got to take this. And they say, I can't talk now, I'm meeting with the rabbi. I said, you know, you could just ignore. You don't have to answer to say, I can't talk now because I'm meeting with the rabbi. So who would do such a thing? Yet Avram does that. And how does God react? Through Chazal. He teaches us through his mouthpiece, our rabbis. And he tells us what? Was Avram punished? Was he wrong? Was it chutzpah? Hashem says, I love it. Gadol hachnasas orchem mekabalas panei hashchina. So much greater to host guests than it would be to even continue talking to me. And this too we say every year, because it's worth repeating every year. God says, if you have a choice between being like me or talking to me, go be like me. If you can go either be imitating me or talk to me, go imitate me. The analogy is incorrect, really. The analogy is not you're in the Oval Office and you take a call. The analogy is you're on the phone with one of your children and they say to you, Mommy, Abba, can I call you back? My sister or my brother need my help with something. What do you say? Nothing would make me happier. Hang up on me right now. You're going to go take care of a sibling? You're going to go display loyalty and love to a sibling? Hang up on me. So our rabbis understand, God says more important for you to be like me than to continue to talk to me. So Avram does. He goes and he takes care of these three people, makes a big barbecue, feeds them. They come to give their message, has the whole conversation that he's going to have a child. Then what? Where does he leave off? So the Pasuk tells us, this is Pasuk Chav Beis that we just read together. The three angels are well fed, their feet have been washed, and they pivot and turn to leave to go to Sodom. And what's Avram doing? V'Avraham odenu omed lefnei Hashem. Avram is still standing before Hashem. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam, shehakol nehyeh bedvarav. Avram is still standing in front of Hashem. Now, the simple understanding of the pasuk is also very important, because what does it tell us? That when he was taking care of them, it wasn't independent or apart from Hashem. Hashem was still there. Hashem was in that act of hospitality. Odenu, he was still there. But listen to what the Kutzker Rebbe says. Such a classic Kutzker. And the Kutzker was very biting. not in a cynical negative way, but better than biting, is that the Kotzker was sharp. He was very sharp. He said things in an incredibly sharp way. So listen to the Kotzker. Va'avraham odenu omed lefnei Hashem al-af shekabalas orchem gedola mekabalas panei Hashchina b'chol zos omer lo Hashem. Still Hashem says to him, gedenk azach bin eichda tizkor she'ani gam nimtzakan. Don't forget I'm also still here. I love this Kotzker. And maybe I just butchered the Yiddish, but I'm interviewing Ruth Wise tomorrow night, so I got to practice my Yiddish. Tizkor she'ani gam nimtzakan, says the Kotzker. Remember, I'm also here. I'm also here. God says, yes, I would rather you leave me to go take care of your sibling. Yes, I'd rather you go be like me than talk to me. But don't forget, I'm still here. Why is this Kotzker? Why does it speak to me? Because sometimes we have that legitimate excuse. So let's say we can't make it to Minyan. There are halachically approved and endorsed times. Don't go to Minyan. If your spouse is sinking because there are crying babies and children and things that need to be done and carpool, and in that moment you have a responsibility at home, don't go to Minyan. If you have a need to help a widow, an orphan, someone struggling, and that means that you can't go to Minyan that day, don't go to Minyan that day. So what happens? Sometimes we feel that excuse is so cogent, that excuse is so strong, that okay, we leave God and we go take care of those people. Hashem says, you did the right thing, and I'm glad you did it, but don't forget I'm still here. Don't forget I'm still here. Don't, in your turn to live ben adam l'chaveiro, so meaningfully and fully, don't forget that I'm still here. Don't forget that I'm still here. He also has another great Kotzker. This actually is from one of the spiritual heirs of the Kotzker, of Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, the Koshig lover gone, the Eretz Tzvi. The Eretz Tzvi, Parshas Bahaloscha, says that Avram advocates, and he says, Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim b'socha ir. Maybe there are 50 righteous people still in the city. Why does he say in the city? So the Kotzker, through his Talmud, the Koshig lover, says, Ikar harabus lios b'socha ir. Umikomakom lios tzadik. Ki bebeis hamedrash yesh har beit tzadikim. Ve'ein ze revusa. He doesn't say, maybe there's a Beis Medrash in stone, maybe there's still 50 tzaddikim in the Beis Medrash, because there's no kunst to be a tzaddik in the Beis Medrash. The kunst is to be a tzaddik b'soch ha'ir. Go to work and be a tzaddik. Go to the supermarket and be a tzaddik. Go to the gym and be a tzaddik. Go engage and encounter. Go live and participate. Go contribute and take from the secular society around us, the world around us. Go be b'soch ha'ir. Go take all that Yahadus gives us and live it. And embrace it and express it in the world, that's the kunz. So says the Koshik lover, says the Rari Tzifrimer, says the Eretz Tzvi, from the Kotzker, Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim, where? B'soch ha'ir. To be a tzadik in the Beis Medrash, it's not a kunz. But b'soch ha'ir, to be a tzadik b'soch ha'ir, now that's impressive, and that is what he is challenged, that's what he is asking. Okay, let's keep going. Vayomer lo, perek yates pasuk yud ches. Stone. Stone's being destroyed. The angels come. They're coming. Lot is tested. Will he step up and stand up for these angels? Top of page 88. Top of page 88. Perek yud ches. Sorry, perek yates. Keep going. Perek yates pasuk yud ches. Top of page 88. Vayomer lo, alayem al na Adonai. Lot said to them, no, see, your servant has found grace in your eyes, your kindness was great, that which you did for me to save my life, but I can't escape to the mountain because the evil will attach itself to me and I will surely die. Instead, one of these five cities is close to us. If I go run, I won't make it. But there is a city close to us, Mitzar. Imalta nashama halo Mitzar hi utchi nafshi. Let's go run there and let's go survive there. It's small. We can live. We'll blend in. We'll survive. And so on and so forth. So Rav Druk says, back to Ishtamid, we'll do another Rav Druk in honor of his visit, one more today, in honor of his upcoming visit, the Shabbos. And he says the following. Why was this city of stone? It's a region. There are five cities, five towns. And why was Tsohar spared? Why was it not destroyed? Rashi gives us two reasons. Number one, he quotes in the Medrash, because Ha'ir Azos Krova Yeshivasa Nisyashva Mikarov Lefichach Nuz Mala Sasa Adayin. It was not fully inhabited, was not fully corrupt. It was not inhabited till a year after the other cities. People did not move in. The development was not complete. The houses weren't done. Since they moved in a year later, their iniquity was a year less. So Hashem could leave it. Moreover, your katana, it is fewer people. So therefore, it's not as threatening. There are fewer people in it. It's not as high risk to leave it be, and you can leave it as it is. The Ramban, those are the two reasons Rashi gives why Tzohar could be spared. The Ramban gives another reason. It is one of the places that was destined to be destroyed. Lot couldn't run to the mountains. He had to come to Tzohar. Since Lot was going to be spared, Tzohar was spared. So here's the question. Tzohar was spared because Lot was going to be living in it. How do you understand that? Who davened for Tzohar to be spared? None other than Avram Avinu, the most righteous, the most beloved, the one Hashem is the most affectionate to, the one who will be the father of the Jewish people, the one through whom Hashem will repair and correct his world, gave it his all and davened from every fiber of his being that these five cities, including Tzohar, would be spared. And Hashem said, the answer is no. I'm sorry, the answer is no. Lot says, yeah, the mountains won't work out to save my life. I need to go to Tzohar. And God says, okay, I'll spare Tzohar. Does Lot compare to Avram in righteousness and merit? And yet God saves Tzohar for Lot, but didn't listen to the advocacy of Avram. What in the world's going on here, asks Rav Druk. And he says the following. Tfilaso shel Avram haisa tfila amitis, aval lo haisa al atzmo. Shoichaye atzmo la yitzluyin klal ba'atzalas anshei tzom. Says Rav Druk, and there's a lot more I want to cover, so I'll talk to you outside. He says, you cannot compare a person who's davening for themselves with someone who's davening for someone else. When you daven for someone else, no matter how sincere you are, no matter how genuine you are, it still is not the same voice of desperation as when you daven for yourself. As when you daven for yourself. Nimtza shegod lekoach ha-tfila hu rak asher ma'amin u'margesh ba'atzmo, shebeladei tfila lo yelo shum derech shel atzala u'milut. So what do you see as part of the very definition of davening from here? Listen carefully, my friends. This is so important. What do you see as part of the core definition of davening? That you have to genuinely and authentically, you have to deeply and profoundly feel that without Hashem, I am in trouble. It's not that I'm going to make parnasa. I have a job, I have a contract, I get a paycheck. But I say Baruch Aleinu every day because, yeah, it's a nice idea that God gives me my parnasa. I have to say Baruch Aleinu every day that if God doesn't will it, I could get fired, I could lose all my money, I'm done tomorrow. Our davening has to be out of desperation. Our davening has to be out of a sense of not, I'm pretty healthy. I just had my physical. I got my lab reports. I'm healthy. I'm well. All is good. I still daven for good health because, yeah, God's in charge and who knows what could happen. No, every moment that I have good health, it could disappear in an instant. In an instant. And therefore, the davening has to be out of a genuine sense, a real, a true sense of I am nothing and I have nothing without Him. Karov Hashem l'chol karov, l'chol asher yikru'uhu be'emes. It has to be genuine. It has to be truthful. It has to be truthful. Is this two parts of a pasuk? Karov Hashem l'chol karov. God's close to all the kol out of him. L'chol asher yikru'u be'emes. And all the kol out of him, truthfully. Says Rav Druk, no. Unlike the other pesukim of Ashrei, we say, Gadol Hashem u'malam ba'od, v'l'gdulaso in cheker. Those are two separate clauses within one sentence, and they mean two separate things. Here, there's no vav. Gadol Hashem u'malam, there's no vav. Here it's karov Hashem l'chol karov, l'chol asher yikru v'emes. The second half of the pasuk is defining the first half. God is close to all who call out to him. Do you know what it means to call out to him? Be'emes. It has to be true. If you're doing it because you're giving him lip service, you're just putting a check mark in the sitter, you're just trying to say the words, if you're doing it even with a little bit of meaning, but you don't believe in your core that you desperately need him, then that's not real davening. That is not real davening. Real davening it is, it has to come from the depth, from the core of our being. He has a long piece here, we don't have time for the rest of it. You can look at it yourself inside, or you can ask Druk the Shabbos for it. But I want to share with you a corollary of it that's not from Rav Druk. It comes from the Maharal. The Maharal of Prague, the Maharal of Prague makes a very cryptic comment in his Nesiva Avoda. It's very troublesome, and it bothered none other than the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was asked about this comment by the Maharal. And he says the following: Higianu haras dvarim tama alago in Maharami Prague b'sefer nesiva solum nesiva avodah perek yud beis. He says it came to my attention the comment of the Maharal, who says the following: the piyut machnise rachamim ein lanu im malachim klum. So we know that there's a tradition that we omit the piyut of machnise rachamim. It's a beautiful song. I think it's Avram Fried. Great interview last week. If you haven't heard it yet, machnise rachamim. We don't say it. Why? We don't use intermediaries. I don't talk to God through angels. We talk to God directly. We talk to God directly. So he quotes here the Maharal in this context says, that Hashem doesn't answer a tefillah unless it is coming from us about us. The davening we do for others is not a real tefillah. The davening has to be for ourselves. So many of the look on your faces right now is the same look on the Chassam Sofer's face. Maharal, what do you mean God is not interested and doesn't listen and it's not the definition of davening when we daven for others? Do we not have a whole Tehillim group and a whole Tehillim circle? Do we not send out names and say so-and-so is in need of davening? Do we not make a Misha Berach and people submit names so we can daven for one another? What are you talking about that we don't daven for other people? That's most of the davening that we do if please God and thank God we're in a position to not need it for ourselves. What is he talking about? So Chassam Sofer's answer is based on a comment of the Rambam. When the Rambam defines the mitzvah of tefillah, the Rambam writes, after reciting Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after reciting praise, the Rambam writes, listen to this expression, Shoel Tzrachov Shehu Tzarach Lahen. You ask for your needs that you need them. Now the Rambam was brilliant, and the Rambam was scientific, and the Rambam did not waste words. Isn't that a clumsy clause? Shoel Tzrachov, you ask for your needs, Shehut Tzarech Lahen, that you need them. Do you have needs that you not need them? What is the Rambam writing? Shoel Tzrachov Shehut Tzarech Lahen. So the Chassam Sofer explains the Rambam and with it the Maharal the following way. He says, very similar to what Rav Druk was just saying, davening is only real and Hashem listens to davening when it represents what we need. If you're davening for your friend and your friend's pain is not your need, then God's not interested. And you are putting a check next to, I deserve to be honored at the shul dinner, I am part of the Tehillim circle. God wants, when you're saying the Tehillim in the Tehillim circle, that you're feeling the pain of someone else as if it's your own. Sha'ol tzrachav shehut tzarach lahen. Hashem, I'm tzarach lahen. I need that person to get better. That's one of my needs. Hashem, I need them to have a parnasa. That's one of my needs. Hashem, I need peace in Israel and around the world. That's one of my needs. I need this virus to go away. That's one of my needs. I'm not davening for someone else. I'm davening for myself because the pain of someone else bothers me so much to my core. So says the Maharal, now we can understand what the Maharal was saying using the Rambam's beautiful understanding of Shelos Tzrochem, that the request and the petition is not for someone else. It has to be something we feel ourselves. In other words, tefillah should be in the sense self-centered. Self-centeredness here is not a virtue, but it represents my needs. I have to see what's lacking, or I have to see the pain that someone else is going through as something I don't have, and that's what I'm davening for. So that was something that Lot says, Rav Druk. For Lot, his life depended on it. Avram, it didn't. In general, our davening, even for other people, should be at the level of as if our life depends on it. You see this also by Yispalel, Perachov Pasuk Yates. Turn the page. Turn two pages, 92. Turn three pages, 94. Perachov pasuk yutes. Ki atzor atzar Hashem bar korech leves avimelech advar sara ishes Avraham. What happens? We have a repeat, the sequel here, of Avram's in Gerar. Sarah is abducted. Avram never revealed that she was his wife. Hashem almost took it out on Avimelech. Avram davens for Avimelech that he be spared. And he is spared and he goes on his way. Ki atzor atzar Hashem bar korech leves avimelech. Hashem completely restrained every office of Avimelech because of Sarah and because of Avraham. So what's the question here? It's a very simple question. When Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, took Sarah, Hashem told him, Hin Chames, you're going to die. So Avimelech answered, what did Avimelech answer? I didn't know. B'nikayon kapaya sisizos. I'm innocent. I didn't know she's a married woman. I thought she's single. How could you hold me accountable? How could you punish me with death? I didn't do anything wrong. So the Torah tells us, Hashem says, Gam anochi yadati ki b'dam levavi asisa zos. Hashem says, I know you're innocent. I know you didn't know. I know you didn't know. And yet, v'atashev es eishos ha'ish, give back the woman. And the Navi, v'ayis palab atcha, he's going to daven for you. What's strange about this story? God says, I know you're innocent, but you're still going to die unless you give her back, and Avram will daven for you. What's strange? Hello? What's strange? Hashem could just say, yeah, you're off the hook. I know, you didn't do anything wrong. I know, you didn't know. Give her back. Let everyone go on their way. Kumbaya, Shalom Yisrael. Next story. He says, yeah, I know you're innocent, but, sorry, death sentence, unless, give her back, Avram davens. Why does Avram need to daven? So Rabbi Chesko Levenstein, who was the Menah Ruchani of Panovich, Mashkiach of Panovich, says the following. He says, you see, he's so gadol, that tefillah, Hashem set up the world in such a way that davening is the key that opens a door, even if the door should be open. It means Hashem has set aside bracha for us, shefa bracha. There are storehouses and there is a flow of blessing waiting for us. But do you know how we access it? You have to daven. I've spoken about this in Living with Emunah before. I could have the winning lottery ticket. I don't. I won the lottery because I have the most blessed life of all time. But I don't have the winning lottery ticket, but you could. 2 weeks ago, someone in Boca, on Camino Real, won 2 lottery tickets, $1 million each. And I'm still looking for them. But you could win the lottery. And the lottery is the last thing in life that you could have a digital version that doesn't help you. You need the little slip of paper with the lottery numbers on it. So you could call in and say, look, I won the lottery. Will they give you the money? What do you need to do? You need to turn in the ticket. You could tell all your friends and family, I have the winning numbers. I'm a millionaire. I'm a billionaire. But do you have the money in your account? Not until when? Until you turn in the ticket. Davening is our turning in the ticket. We've won the lottery. Hashem has all kinds of plans and brachas for us. But we have to turn in the ticket if we're going to access it, if we're going to get it. Davening is the way we turn in the ticket. You see this going all the way back to Parshas Bereishis. Hashem set up a whole ecological system. He set up a whole system of condensation and rain and saturation and fields. But it says that while it was all in place, it didn't kick into motion yet. God didn't press start or go. It didn't start until when? Until man was created. Rashi says, why? Until there was someone to daven for the rain. Well, Hashem, what are you so egotistical? You need someone to ask in order for you to give? It's built into the Bria. Built into creation is that we don't get until we ask. Even that which is justly set aside. You see this also, Hashem pakar asara kasher amar. You see in our parsha, Hashem made her pregnant, as he said. And there Chazal say, Laman ismachalidas Yitzchak b'mais Avimelech, l'lamed chashkom espalo over chaveru nenet chila. We spoke about this last year too. We learn from here that the person who davens for someone else is answered first because Avram davened for Avimelech, and as a result, he had a son. So you see this yisod, that even though Avram was promised a son, what did he need to do first? He needed to daven. Even that which we've been promised, even that which is set aside and designated to come our way, we have to ask, we have to daven for it first, otherwise we don't get it. I had 100 more things I wanted to share with you. 100 more. Oh! So much more I wanted to share. Oh, you give a fault. What should we do last? What should we finish up with? We'll finish up with the Imre Chaim. Because he's the Imre Chaim, the Vishnitsu Rebbe. The Imre Chaim, the Vishnitsu, says the following. Perach of Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalad. Thank God we're going to read it again next year. What happens? The birth of Yitzchak. Hagar and Yishmael, Sarah says, yeah, bad influence, get him out. And Hashem says to Avram, Kol Asher, what men have been hearing from their wives. I don't know what they teach in seminary, but every Jewish woman knows this Pasuk by heart. Kol Asher Tamar Elecha Sarah, Shma Bekola. I don't know if they give it out in kala classes or where they get it. Kol Asher Tamar Elecha Sarah, Shma Bekola. Every Jewish woman knows that by heart. Whatever Sarah tells you, you have to listen to her. Someone asked me in Parshas Bereishis in New York, someone from New York texted me, they wanted to know, why couldn't Adam use that as his defense? when Chava told him to eat from the apple. Well, what do you mean? You're going to tell Avram, you got to always listen to the woman. I'm listening to the wife. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Why wasn't that a good defense then, if now Avram's being told, whatever you do, you got to listen to your wife. So listen to her. Listen to her. The beautiful insight by Rav Soloveitchik on those words, but we don't have time for it. So Avram does listen to her and throws Yishmael out of the house. And what does it say? Perachaf Aleph Pasuk Yudalad. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. Again, you see the theme, Avram waking up early in the morning. Alacrity, zeal, zrizus. Vayikach lachem vachemas mayim v'yitein al hagar. Sam al shechma. He packed her lunch. What a good hubby. While he's throwing her out of the house. Here's the lunch box. He puts it on her shoulder, gives her the boy, his boy, Yishmael, sends them off. Oso Avram Avinu, we'll close with these words of the Imre Chaim, of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe. Oso Avram Avinu, shehichnis betzel karaso kol dichven mikol uma v'loshem, la'achilam la'ashgosam. This parsha is a paradox. The parsha begins with Avram welcoming idolaters. It begins with Avram who cannot stand not expressing hospitality and love and sensitivity and kindness. And the same Avram, who can't help but be hospitable, the same Avram, who intervenes and intercedes and advocates and davens for the wicked people of Sodom, the same Avram, who welcomes idolatrous angels, the same Avram, who davens for Sodom, the same Avram who goes to battle the four things of the five kings because he thinks there's an injustice, the same Avram who rescues Lot, even though Lot's a disappointment, who magarishes beno Yishmael b'chol yeimah medbara, same Avram is the one who can't stand injustice, who stands up and advocates for the underprivileged, who helps those who don't have, is now going to throw his wife and son to the curb? Lilamedcha, says the Imre Chaim the Vizhnitzer. Avram will give his entire life in order to save another soul. When he thinks that his son is spiritually in danger, there is no compassion anymore. Avram, while he's the most compassionate person that ever lived, when it comes to protecting and securing the spiritual safety of his son, he has no compassion. If his son were to be exposed to or attached to, if his son were to be tempted by influences which would corrupt him, Avram has no patience. He found the ability to be cruel even with his own wife and even with his own flesh and blood son. He gets rid of Lot. He expels Lot, he expels Yishmael. Ki yada, because he knew. Shem yesh v'yachtav im Lot v'im Yishmael b'sof yilmadu m'maseyem m'da'aseyem ha'nifsados chas v'shalom. It's a very powerful idea that we have to find that balance. To truly be the progeny of Avram, we also have to thread this needle. On the one hand, to stand up and to represent, to advocate for those who are less privileged, to fight for justice, to express sympathy and empathy and sensitivity and care and concern for all. On the other hand, we have a spiritual legacy that we have to secure, that we have to protect fiercely, fiercely. And we have to engage and involve whatever it takes for ourselves to protect it, because there is so much at stake. The continuity of our people and our values and ideals and virtue and the ability to transform the world is at stake. So yes, it's not a contradiction, says the Imre Chaim, that the same Avram who did all of those things on behalf of others could throw out his own flesh and blood, Lot and Yishmael, because when it came to Yitzchak's spiritual safety and security, he was unwavering, and he did whatever it took. It's a big lesson for us. I already have half my shiur for next year prepared. Baruch Hashem, I guess, for that. Join us tomorrow morning for Living with Emunah, 9:45, thank God, because of a bris. Tomorrow night, 9 p.m., Professor Ruth Wise of Harvard University. We go behind the bima. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and stay holy.